It is the day after Selection Sunday, and we know who's in the field, who's not in the field. This is Noah Frank along with Dave Preston. We talked last week about some teams that maybe deserve to be in, deserve not to be in. Kind of an interesting edge of the bubble here as far as who ended up making it and who didn't. Let's talk a little bit about teams that got in that maybe you didn't think were going to get into the field.
First, I thought that Syracuse was going to be out. I saw them lose at the ACC tournament in the quarterfinal game to Pitt. I thought that was a bubble game, so to speak. The winner would get into the field. The loser would be out. Syracuse lost 5 of 6 down the stretch, and the committee looked past that, and they're in the big dance. That was kind of a surprise. Vanderbilt also making the field. That was a little bit of a question mark. Tulsa came from out of nowhere. I guess maybe they're letting the Golden Hurricanes get into the field before the NCAA comes calling on Frank Haith, because he's gotten Miami and now Missouri ineligible for the tournament in his respective tenures at those two schools.
Yeah, Vandy was a little bit of a surprise, too. We mentioned, especially after they lost at the buzzer and to a not very good Tennessee team in the first round of the SEC tournament. And you mentioned Tulsa. I think Temple also. Just those are two teams from an American conference that really is not very good, and two teams with double-digit losses that just I'm really surprised that a team like you know, teams with RPIs in the 50s and 60s would get in over a team like St. Mary's with an RPI, I think it was 31 or 41. They were way higher, had more wins, had, you know, beaten Gonzaga twice before losing to them in their conference tournament final. Just seemed to have a much better case. The NCAA's criteria seem to be completely arbitrary.
How much do you think that the NCAA selection committee is reactionary from the standpoint of a couple years ago the AAC got a couple of snubs? This year they made it up. Last year Virginia probably had a better case to be a number one seed, going 16-2, winning the ACC regular season. This year they get a number one seed. It almost seems as though that there are makeup calls year in and year out in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, and we talked about, I don't think Monmouth, if you took them independently, probably deserved to get in. But they did everything that the NCAA says that they want them to do in terms of playing a ton of road. They had 13 road wins, which nobody else had 13 road wins, and literally nobody who was eligible for the field. And you know, they challenged themselves with these big games. And you lose in your conference tournament final, but that's, I guess it's just, they basically said the conference tournaments don't matter. That was the biggest takeaway for me.
There are some schools that don't schedule 13 road games, period, let alone win 13 road games.
Right.
Very often I think that there are enough different variables when you, as far as criteria on how you determine who the 68 schools are, who the 36 at-large teams are, that the NCAA comes up with the field and then uses the different criteria to justify their decisions, as opposed to examining the criteria and then determining the field from that. It's almost as though they look for the crime to fit the punishment, as opposed to the punishment fitting the crime.
Yeah, well, so anyway, that's who got snubbed and who got in. We kind of covered that. Now that we actually have our field, looking around, it's, I don't think too many upsets jump off the page to me, but there are some that kind of makes sense given location, given, you know, the travel that some teams have to do, maybe some interesting profiles. Who jumps off as early upsets for you?
Villanova has been a shaky team the last couple of years in the NCAA tournament. Now, 20 years ago, I was saying, oh, don't think about going anywhere near Arizona, because Lute Olson, they lost to Santa Clara that year. They always get bounced early, and they had a couple of years in a row where they made some Final Four runs and won the national championship. Villanova could be a team that breaks through this year under Jay Wright. They did reach the Final Four last decade, but I just don't have confidence in them. In the Big East, I don't have confidence in that league as a whole. That's a school that just jumps out and says, don't pick me, whatever you do.
But I mean, so are you you think they might go out in the first round?
I think
round?
They might go out in the second round. I think that, yes, Temple is a school that probably didn't deserve to make the field, but a Temple-Villanova matchup in the second round will be pretty sweet. Those two schools, Big Five schools, it always elevates the play between the two teams.
What about some teams that a lot of maybe brand names, may not be teams people know, that you're looking to potentially pull some early upsets?
Surprise schools, I think Chattanooga is a school that could pull an upset. Indiana has been up and down all year, depending depending on which day you get them, they might look great, or they'll give up 92 points at Duke on 62 possessions. You look at a school like Gonzaga's, kind of a team that has been a favorite for years. They're kind of an underdog in an overrated sort of way because they've been to the dance so many years in a row. Seton Hall, fresh off their run through the Big East tournament, is ripe for an upset there because just their run through the Big East was impressive enough. Very often you see a school win their conference tournament, get bounced in the first round.
That game's also in Denver, which strikes me as you know, a little friendly for Gonzaga, potentially. That's a long way to travel for Seton Hall. I always kind of, you know, location can have an impact. I don't necessarily love the matchup just on paper, but Yale, Baylor, and Providence, that's a really interesting place that's going to have a very heavy pro Yale crowd, I would think. Same, and I hate this. I'm sorry. I apologize in advance. It's gonna be one of those weeks where I just defend myself from right. Terps fans. But South Dakota State in Spokane, an area that has provided many great tournament upsets over the years, especially the last 15 years or so. That's a really long way for Maryland to travel. It is out in the middle of nowhere. It's one of those tournament sites like Boise that loves its underdogs, that gets behind them. It's, you know, pretty friendly for South Dakota State in terms of being close there. And Maryland always plays down to the level of its opponent, or plays up to the level of its opponent. Whatever game it's dealt, and I really worry about potentially them letting South Dakota State hang around, that getting into the final, 4 or 5 minutes of a close game, and the crowd turning and it just turning into a nightmare for them.
Going to put you on the spot as far as bracket picking. The first four games that take place Tuesday and Wednesday, I have friends who stay away from those schools because it's a 50-50 shot, and why would you have a school that is playing before the round of 64 advance to the round of 32 and maybe even the Sweet 16? I know LaSalle did it a couple of years ago. VCU went all the way from the first four to the final four, but it's just the cost of doing business. I don't like to pick teams that play in the first four to get past the round of 32.
I kind of do, and I feel like history has kind of shown it. Tennessee did it. Tennessee went to, they were either the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight a couple years ago as an 11, as a play-in team. Dayton was a play-in team and went to the Elite Eight, I believe it was. There've been some really, some really good teams come out of that. It's funny because I think Wichita State is better. But I hate that matchup. I hate that the winner of that and Vandy has to turn around and play Arizona. They're not getting past Arizona on a day's rest. I don't think so. So it has more to do with that matchup for me. Notre Dame has the single worst defense in the entire field outside of the 16 seeds. Their defensive efficiency is below 150.
It's the Matador defense. Come on.
Right. Well, and to me, you look at that. You get a team coming out of that other side. You get a Michigan, right? Coming out of that side. I think Michigan beats Notre Dame. So that to me is the one where I go, okay, here's where I see an 11 that could sneak through and do some damage.
There's nothing worse when you're picking games. There was one year I picked Georgia Tech to get to the Final Four. They had just won the ACC tournament. It was 1993. They played that early Thursday game, and they lost. And there's nothing worse than by 4 o'clock on the Thursday of the tournament to have one of your Final Four teams burning your bracket. You got to stay away from those.
Well, it'll be fun. Duke plays the first game of the entire championship once we hit Thursday. They have the very first game. So for the Duke haters, you'll have perhaps an opportunity to see them go out as early as possible.
I actually think they have a chance to get to the Final Four. Depth is an issue for them, but unlike the ACC tournament, they won't be playing back-to-back days. They'll be able to rest their guys. And you looked at late in that game against Notre Dame that they lost in overtime in the ACCs. They lost their legs down the stretch. They'll be rested going into this week. And I think that the West is a semi-soft bracket. I'm not completely sold on Oregon. I know they're a good team, but I think they can be beaten by Duke. I think that Yale has a good shot to beat Baylor as well. And I think on the other side of the bracket, Oklahoma is probably the team that advances unless Texas beats them. I'd love to see Shaka Smart's school go up against VCU in the regional semi. But I think that Oklahoma is going to advance, and Duke does very well whenever they take on a team that has a superstar. They're able to negate him. I've got Duke going to the Final Four.
So we talk about some sleepers, and I think the West could be the most upended bracket, and I was up in Brooklyn for the A-10 this weekend, and I was really impressed with St. Joe's. They are way more athletic, and they don't do anything special, but they have really good athletes and two really good players, and in a guard in Deontre Bambry, who just can kind of do everything, can score on his own, can create off the dribble, can finish through contact.
Isaiah Miles is
and
the
Isaiah
other
Miles,
guy.
Right, he's
came
like
to Foggy Bottom and he torched GW in the second
yeah,
half.
Yeah, he's like a stretch four who can. I mean, he's a ten. He's a double digit rebound guy who can shoot the three. They've got this guy Papa Now, one of the best names in the field. PAPANDAO, and he same thing. I mean, a guy with length who can shoot from the outside. I think St. Joe's, if they don't stumble, could beat Oregon. I think that could be the first big upset in the second round, and that could clear the path for Duke. I mean, that's coming out of that same
right.
that same little region there. But yeah, I mean, that, to me, that's one that really sticks out as a potential sleeper. We talked about Gonzaga. I know they've had some injuries, but their big guys are as good as any big guys in the country. They have a good chance, I think, this year. I like their path potentially. Like you said, Seton Hall is really good, but they're coming off that big emotional victory. This could be a nasty trap for them. I could see Gonzaga going, you know, Sweet 16 or even Elite 8 possibly.
Final Four time. Who do we have?
I can't pick against Kansas. I mean, in terms of at least making the Final Four, they're pretty clearly the best team in the field. I've got them as they're my only one seed. I've got Michigan State, who should be a one seed, but close enough. I got Oklahoma, and I've got Kentucky. I think Kentucky has really rounded into form at the right time. I think they've got a very good chance of coming out of there. I like them against North Carolina to advance. And I honestly, senior guards play in March. I've got Buddy Hield and the Sooners cutting them down.
I have Kansas, I have Duke, I have North Carolina, and I have Michigan State. I have the Spartans beating Virginia again, and everybody in Charlottesville just throwing up their hands saying, what do we need to do to not have them in our bracket?
I have that same game. I want to not have it, but it's hard for me to pick against just given what Izzo's his March ownage, you know, of Virginia.
I have the Spartans taking down Duke in the championship game. Grayson Allen, wide open for a shot. Unfortunately, he trips over his own feet, and Duke loses by one.
And America rejoices.
One shining moment, boys and girls.
Thanks again to Dave Preston. We'll maybe catch this up after the first weekend of games and see how horribly we've picked and go from there. Thanks for listening.